Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Laura Murano. Among her many TV and film credits, Laura is best known for her roles in Austin and Ally, Lady Bird, and Bad Hair Day. Her upcoming movies include War with Grandpa with Robert De Niro, The Stand-In, and Saving Zoe, which she's producing along with her mother and sister. Laura, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so, so excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So, your mother runs the Agora Children's Theater, and I'm guessing that you grew up just seamlessly having that be part of your life in the background and the foreground. When did you know that you wanted to be an actor and singer?
You know, it's a very funny story. Exactly right. My sister and I grew up in the theater and just, like, loved it. You know, loved everything about it. Loved performing. I was just, like, very obnoxious and, like, just wanted attention. And so I would sing to people and jump on stage. And I had just the best time. But Vanessa, like, you know, she kind of knew pretty early on she wanted to do it professionally. Okay, Vanessa's 6 years old, and she's like, I want to act professionally. My mom's like, nope. No. And I'm sure maybe you'll also kind of bond with where my mom was coming from. But, you know, my mom was like, it's a business full of rejection. Yeah. Like, it's not easy. You think it's easy. No way am I going to put my daughter through this business, okay? My sister's very persistent, and she continued to beg my mom every day for 2 years. So now my sister's 8, I'm 5 years old, and my mom kind of gets guilted into it, right? You know, at the theater, and that's always how my mom kind of shaped her business and shaped the theater part of her business, is that it's for fun, and it should be for, like, love of the craft, and, you know, it's the people that you're working with, and about cooperation and working together. And, you know, she always wanted to take out the really tough parts of the business out. She taught at a high school and ran drama there. And she hated, like, the auditioning part because kids would just be devastated when they wouldn't get it. So, you know, in her theater, you can't audition, which sometimes people get a little irritated with, but she'll just give you a part. And it's more about, like, the love of the theater than being, like, the star of something. You know, it's working together, getting an amazing, you know, product to be put out for your parents to see than just, like, a business, you know?
That sounds really healthy.
It was really, really healthy. And so my mom loved that. So the idea of my sister kind of, and not even me at that time, going into it professionally where it is cutthroat, where it is about rejection, was the last thing my mom wanted to do. But my sister was persistent, and so she kind of got guilted into it. But she still, you know, at this time, my mom's getting annoying, like, or I get annoyed, right? She starts researching agents and finds an agent that turns down kids like 95% of the time. She's like, great, I'll take my kids to this one. Vanessa will get rejected, and then she'll realize it's much harder than she thinks. This is my mom's kind of way of like, okay, this can be the wake-up call. You really think you want to do this? It's so not that easy. Right. Like, get ready. So, you know, my dad's teaching, so my mom picks us up from school. I kind of go along for the ride because, you know, I'm 5 and can't be alone. And so Vanessa goes in and the agent comes out and asks to see my mom. And I follow my mom. And again, I'm just like a ridiculous, obnoxious, outgoing 5-year-old. Just like, la, 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 look at me. And so the agent says to my mom, we want to take Vanessa.
Oh, my God.
And my mom's like, wait, what? Like, what?
That wasn't the plan, actually.
And then I say, well, I don't have an agent in, like, the cutest voice I can muster. And the agent's like, oh, honey, we'll take you too. And my mom's like, are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
And we've actually been with the same agents ever since. Going on 18 years, which is kind of crazy.
I love that. What a story.
Yeah. And it's just funny. It's like, there's so many things that are kind of kismet about it. But I think at the end of the day, my mom just so did not want us to be in this business, and it was just kind of meant to be.
Yep. Wow. And then I was looking at your IMDb, and it looks like you had your first project, like, when you were 8 or 9.
So,
you were little.
So, yeah, I was really little. So, you know, started doing commercials that first year when I was 5. I specifically remember my first thing I ever did was a JCPenney commercial, and I was crazy. I personally apologize to anyone who was on that set. Like, I was just, kids are weird, right? Like, especially kids who start acting. Like, I was super weird. I, like, kept calling the director my dad. Like, I was just, like, I kept hitting the guy who was playing my brother. I was just 5 and crazy, right? But then when I was 6, I actually, my sister and I got our first theatrical thing we got together. It's called Without a Trace. Okay. And we played sisters. It was the last time we ever worked together, apart from Saving Zoe. But, you know, we played sisters, and I was 6, and we were working with Anthony LaPaglia, and he was incredible and kind of the Italian, like, dream to work with. I'm from an Italian family, so everyone's like, oh, Anthony. and here I am. I can't even, like, pronounce any words correctly. I can't even say my name correctly in Italian. But anyway, that was a pretty awesome experience because, you know, we were really young. Vanessa was 9, I was 6. And, wow. You know, we kind of just right away had to bring it and be professional and learn it then.
So you were professionally acting from the age of 6 on. What was your school situation like? How did you manage school?
So I was really lucky in that the school that I went to, and then another school that I would later go for high school, were very willing to work with me as long as I did the work, right? So, you know, the school I went to was a smaller private school, mm-hmm. Which I think makes it a little bit more manageable. I don't think I probably could ever have done it going to a public school because I think public school is, like, very dependent on you being there. Like,
they tend to be less flexible.
Yeah. Which I get. That's a totally different situation. But the school I went to was, like, very much all about you can do it as long as you do the work. And, you know, as a kid, you do have a set teacher. You do have an allocated time for doing school. It's really not the same amount of time that you would go in a normal school. You have to get at least 1 hour a day, but it has to add up to 3 hours a day.
Yep.
And so, you know, work that I didn't finish, I'd have to kind of do it on my own at home or on the weekends or whenever. Growing up, I didn't have, like, that much amount of work when you're 6 or 7, though I feel like nowadays you kind of do.
Yeah.
I had a shocking amount of work when I was, like, in 4th grade. It was, like, started getting intense then. But, you know, it really didn't start getting too hectic for me until I was, like, more in middle school and mm-hmm. high school. But by then, I'd kind of been learning the balancing act for so long that I was able to do it better and able to manage it. So it was definitely a challenge, but I knew for me that I really wanted to go to school. My sister was homeschooled starting in middle school, and she was crazy smart and actually ended up graduating early, like really, really early. And that kind of worked out perfect for her. And she then went to, you know, community college and started taking classes there while balancing work. And, like, that was, like, the perfect path for her. For me, I knew that I needed and I wanted to go to school.
Mm-hmm. And you were able to do it.
Yeah. I was really lucky that I had the right, you know, kind of group of people around me that really enabled me to do it.
Mm-hmm. How important has training been for you?
So important. I think acting is one of those activities that on the surface seems easier than it actually is, right? You know, when you have a sport, but on the flip side, harder to practice. When you have a sport or you have an instrument you're learning, you know, you're usually, for a piece you're learning on the piano, you're working up to playing this actual piece. You know, on a sport, you're working up to playing games. You know, with acting, you're always kind of working up to do a job, but you don't know when you're going to get that job. And obviously, you could be working on one character and then audition for a completely other character. And so it seemingly feels like, well, all this work I just did on this one character is not going to help me in this way. And, you know, seemingly, it feels that you don't need the same amount of training that you would for a sport or an instrument or any other kind of clearer, simpler activity to train for. But I think that's the biggest mistake people make about acting. I think you have to think of acting in the same way you would even think of singing and doing vocal exercises as a muscle that you have to train and strengthen. And so going to class is imperative and necessary, and taking lessons, coaching, that's necessary. I was so lucky that I was able to have that kind of instilled in me because my mom's an acting teacher. And so, you know, I could always work on scenes with her if I was auditioning. But every Saturday, and since I've been like 0 years old, I would go and be a part of theater. And I think I can't stress how important that was for me. And, you know, I admittedly don't go as much to my mom's children's theater now, but I actually still try to make it there as much as possible. I feel a little old because I'm 22 going on 23. And you know, the oldest class she has is teenagers in it. But I think no matter what, it's so important to really strengthen that muscle. And there's no easy, simple way to do that in the same way there is for an instrument or a sport, but it's still necessary and you still have to find what works for you and you have to work on that every single day.
Mm-hmm. However you're able to do
that. However you're able to do that. You know, now more than ever, because of the internet, you can like look up monologues. You can like film yourself on your phone and, you know, try to make judgments or try to, you know, critique yourself, which can be very hard to do by yourself. You know, some people are kind of can step away and, you know, be a little objective or unbiased, and other people, you know, you watch yourself and you're like, oh, I look so weird, or my voice sound weird, or, you know, you judge yourself so quickly. But anything you can do to just practice performing is so necessary.
Mm-hmm. And practice auditioning, because that's its own skill set.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and like anything else, the more you do any of that, the better you get.
Yeah.
So you found your agent when you were really little.
Yes.
That's the most amazing story. Do you have a manager?
Yes, so my mom is my manager.
Oh, cool. Okay, that's easy.
Which is amazing.
How convenient.
It's totally convenient, right? Like, really just, there's so many things in my journey that I was very lucky. You know, my mother has been in the entertainment industry since her 20s, right?
Wow.
And so she actually, like, manages 6 to 7 clients. And so I think that's what's so funny is she has this kind of aspect of her of she's a bit like, you know, free spirit, hippie, drama teacher. And then she's like badass businesswoman.
Those are different hats.
Very different hats. And she's able to wear both, you know, flawlessly and really, really well. And, you know, obviously having your mother as a manager can be a blessing and a curse in so many ways. You know, we never stop talking about work. Work is like the highlight of our life, and also just kind of a subject heavily featured in family dinners. But, you know, no one's going to care about you the way a parent does. And so you can always kind of have that trust there. My sister and I are lucky because she really also has experience and does know what she's doing. You know, I know a bunch of kids who have their parents as managers, and, you know, some don't totally know what they're doing, and it sometimes totally works out for them. It's sometimes still kind of a good thing that ends up happening, but I think it can be difficult because this business is a bit hard to navigate, and when you don't have experience in it, you can't truly serve yourself well, your kid well, anyone well, if you don't know when you're not getting help from other people. So again, it was just kind of a pretty lucky thing for Vanessa and I.
That's super lucky. Yeah. I mean, no kid is born with a manager.
Yeah, totally.
Nobody's born with a manager. And so inevitably parents are kind of by default your first managers.
Totally.
Typically, I think that after you start to get some traction, it's probably wiser to find a professional manager. But in your case, your mom has been in the industry for decades. She's actually really well set up to be a great manager.
Totally. And, yeah, you know, for music, she very much knows that she doesn't know music at all. So she's, you know, it's a whole other industry. And that's what, you know, I love music and I always want to be a part of it. And I was really not able to do that early on because I was so heavily inside the acting industry, and they're really, really different. And then I think again, on the surface, people think that they overlap. They really don't, like, at all. So, you know, I have a separate music manager, because my mom was very aware of, she did not know at all anything she was doing in that world. So it's nice because she has a really good, clear head on what her advantages are and strengths are and what her weaknesses are. And so it has made Vanessa and my life like so much easier in so many ways, which is awesome.
That is so awesome. But, you know, it really bears noting that without your talent and your passion and your drive and who you are that you bring to everything you do, it doesn't matter that your mother has a children's theater in Los Angeles and has these skills, because that's not sufficient to build a career for you. Like, it's fantastic. It's been helpful, but it's what you've brought to it given you your career. And I think it's important to point that out, because some people are going to be like, well, of course she's done so well. Her mom is like, no, actually.
You know, I think everyone has a different story, yeah. Right? I mean, there's so many people who are successful, and also just the idea of success, you know, is can be a funny thing, because yeah. People have different levels of that. But there are so many people who are successful that just have a different story and a different way of doing it. And I think, you know, there's so many times that you can be in the acting industry and be an actor and have those ups and downs and really ask yourself if it's something you want to do. And you kind of always have those two choices of like looking for something else to do or pushing forward and working harder. And so, you know, for me and for my sister, it was always a matter of, we've had lots of not great things happen to us in our career, but it was always a matter of like, well, this is what we want to do. This is what we love. This is what we're going to keep working harder on and get better at. And so I think there's a lot of people who start out as child actresses or child actors and soon realize that maybe it's not something that they want to continue doing, which is totally okay. It's really just about listening to yourself, and in this business in particular, in life in general, but in this business in particular, you really have to stay true to yourself and really know who you are, which can be really hard to do because there's so many different directions that people are constantly kind of pushing and pulling you in. And it's easy to get lost in that. And for me, I think that's another reason why I feel lucky that I went to school, because that always grounded me. It was so easy to not be grounded in this business. And that was something that always really, really helped me and always made me realize, no, this is something I want to do. This is something I want to keep working harder at. You know, that's kind of an amazing thing.
It is. Well, that takes me to another one of my questions. You know, what are your methods for staying positive, staying grounded, focused on your dream when things are tough? Because things get tough for everybody.
For sure. You know, I think there is a level to me that there's just a history there of lots and lots of rejection that you kind of get used to it. You know, there's still once in a while parts that I really, really, really want and I don't get, and you know, it's a bit of a bummer, but man, I have gotten rejected so many times and have had so many no's that it's something that I'm just so used to that I very much realize it's, you know, not something to get down about, because in this world, in life, but in this world, whatever will be, and I do truly believe everything happens for a reason, 100%. And, you know, it's funny with Austin and Ally. It was, I did not audition for that for a long time. Not because I didn't want to. I was dying to audition for it. But at first we heard that, you know, they really kind of fought on having me in. They were like, you know, we're looking for a blonde for that part. Or, you know, some people who are part of the show knew me already before and knew that I was really outgoing. And, you know, Ally's like, was meant to be really shy, and so they're like, Laura's just kind of not right for the part. And so in that way, I will say, like, my team and I really fought to get in that room, because I was like, are you kidding me? This part was meant for me. She's a songwriter, darn it. But you know, there are sometimes you just have to trust your gut of like, I'm gonna fight for this, and this is where I'm supposed to be. And other times where you really have no control, and if they don't want you and they're saying no, then that's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, and so that's good. That's a good way of upholding everything. Do you have any audition advice?
Always be memorized. I really, really think you should always be memorized, and it can be hard. There can be so many pages, and you get them so last minute. And so that's when we were talking about before about training your muscle. That's something you can work on every day, of memorizing and working on that skill, because that's necessary. Out of like, you can't truly act if you don't know the words. So I always come in memorized. You know, for movies, And every writer who has written a movie who's listening to this might slap me in the face for this. But for movies, you typically don't necessarily have to be word perfect. You can kind of get the idea off and be close to the words, but not word perfect. For a lot of television, you kind of have to be word perfect, especially comedies. It's now having to do with timing and having to do with so many other things that if you're not word perfect, it's kind of an X against you. So you really have to get on your memorizing game.
Do you find that the more you work at that, the better you get at it?
For sure. I mean, yeah. I have to say, a strength of mine is memorizing. I'm a bit of like a memorization freak, which helped me in school majorly.
Yeah.
But it's also because I've been memorizing scripts since I've been 5, you know? I mean, and even before for like doing plays and doing different parts, I'm like very happy and lucky that I've had that because I can memorize things so, so quickly. And of course, that's not just the end of the equation for acting. That's just the beginning, you know?
Good point.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that.
Right? You like, it's not, unfortunately, though it's a great thing for you to memorize, it's not like the win. It's not like, oh, well, you got it since you worked hard and memorized it. That's just where the work starts.
Yep. It's step one. But yes. it's an important step. What has surprised you about this whole adventure so far?
You know, nothing would surprise me because everything surprises me, if that makes sense. It's just a business. You can never expect anything. And that's kind of the beautiful part of it, right? It's, you can literally have such a down year or a down few months and then you get an awesome part. Or, you know, vice versa. You are in a really great place and you've, you know, getting part after part and then, you know, things don't go your way and you kind of a dry period. You know, I constantly have ups and downs happen within like months of each other. I got this amazing Robert De Niro movie that was incredible to work on, has such a crazy cast, Christopher Walken's in it, Uma Thurman, Jane Seymour, Cheech Marin, Rob Riggle, like so awesome. And I'm not sure what will ever happen to it because it was a Weinstein Company distributed movie.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just kind of the part of the business and nothing really surprises me. And sometimes the frustrating part on the acting side is that lack of control, right? I think something that would surprise people is just how much actors do not control or have no control at all. You know, I'll have fans ask about certain movies and certain parts and certain things, and you know, one of my favorite things, and I love them and I love how supportive they are and thoughtful they are, but I always kind of laugh a little bit when there's like a movie coming out or like a part and they're like, why didn't you try out for this? Why didn't you get this? And I'm like, well, that's just not how it really works. I'm like, but I appreciate the thoughts. And I think it's always important to, you and I, Bonnie, know how the business works. And then I'll hear crazy stories about an actress who like read an article about a movie and wrote to the director and like stalked the director and being like, I want to go in and get this part, and she gets the part. So it's, you can't really expect anything. You kind of just have to trust your gut and what's worth fighting for and what's worth kind of, you know, not concealing, but kind of saving your energy for.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you did that for every single part, every single thing out there, it's just not sustainable.
Yeah. You got to choose your battles.
Yeah, totally.
I know we're running tight on time because you have so much going on today.
Yes.
I'm just going to ask a couple of quick kind of final questions here before I let you go. If you weren't an actor, what do you think you would do?
I'd be a teacher.
Hmm.
I think potentially, you know, I don't want to say I'm just doing this because of my parents, but you know, my mom's a teacher and my dad's a teacher. And so I've just always had a bit of a bias for teachers. You know, I was such a teacher's pet and such a goody two-shoes of being like, guys, I know you're mad at Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, but just think like what they're going through at home, or like, just think like they're doing this for art. You know, I've always gave them the benefit of the doubt, and I just love teaching people. I think I love connecting with people, which is why I absolutely adore the job that I have, because it's all about connection. But teaching, I think, is one of the most beautiful, greatest connections, is you're can sometimes be teaching a subject, but sometimes you're teaching so much more to a kid, right? Or to a fellow, you know, a peer or whoever. I was always in middle school, kind of like my friends. I would tutor them and I would love it. I was like, I would have the best time doing it.
Aww, I like that. Teachers are so important.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for kids who want this life?
Do a play. Do a play at your school. See if your neighborhood or your city has some sort of local, you know, theater community. Do a play, because I think you'll very quickly find if you actually want this life or not. It's very easy to think that you want it, like with anything in life. Something on the surface can seem so different than what it actually is. But the best way to really find out if you want it and what it actually is doing a play. And either you will find yourself absolutely in love with it or you won't. And you could find yourself loving it but not realizing the amount of work, which is okay. Then you kind of see if you can handle the amount of work. And again, that'll just kind of come down to whether you really love it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might love it and be really good at it, but then discover that the actual life that it requires isn't one that you really want.
Yeah. Now, you know, I always think about this constantly. The world of the entertainment industry, and especially, well, not just especially actors and actresses, but really kind of anything in the entertainment industry, you know, is now a very different world than it was a few decades ago because of social media.
Even 10 years ago.
Yeah, even 10 years ago, truly. And so there is totally an aspect of that part of the world and part of the life that is just part of the job, but doesn't necessarily make it any easier, and is a very different part of the job, one that you kind of can't truly prepare for. But, you know, that does kind of come with it, and you find out quickly if you're able to handle it or not. But there are certain things you can do to make it more manageable, I find. Mm-hmm. If, you know, for me, I try to, like, set goals of walking away from it, you know, turning my iPad off, because I have it on my iPad. But, you know, there is a certain time and place where you really do utilize it. And there's parts that I love about social media and connecting with people, because, again, it kind of comes down to connecting. But there's parts that make it really, really tough, for sure.
Yeah, we didn't get into that. But if you have any quick hot tips for people regarding, like, just haters and rejection and social media.
Yeah, I mean, as an actor, it's like you face rejection on a professional level, and now you have it on social media. You can't get away from it.
Woo-hoo.
Woo! Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We're interesting as humans, aren't we? We can see 10 beautiful, amazing, positive comments, and we'll see one bad comment, and it's the one bad one that's just taken over our heads. You know, I wish I had better advice and, you know, more thought-provoking, world-changing epiphanies about it. But I think it just kind of comes down to, you know, knowing your self-worth. And we all, as individuals, have such beautiful, amazing parts of ourselves that we need to embrace and be grateful for and be proud of. And if someone's making you feel that you don't have those parts, or you should feel ashamed, or you should feel bad for this, or not great about this, or there's judgments, and, you know, also what's just hard about social media is sometimes jokes happen, but we can't read tone, and so, you know, you get hurt over a joke that was meant to be sarcastic or something. So you really just can't take it too seriously. I think you have to kind of step away and be like, oh, there's so much more to this. There's amazing connections that can happen on social media, but the really goal of life is like personal human connection that really can only come from in-person personal experiences. So, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. There are many times when I really enjoy my time on social media, and other times when I kind of have to take a step back, and especially when I find myself obsessing over it. It can be an addiction, you know? And so I have to kind of take a step back and be like, whoa, there, breathe, and we're cool, everyone, we're cool.
That's good advice, just stepping back.
Yeah.
Stepping back. Anything else you'd like to share?
You know, I think there's so many awesome parts of the entertainment industry, for sure. It's just, if it's something that you want to do and something that you have a passion for, there's so many things that really no one can prepare you for until you're in it. And I just think, you know, there's always a time, if it's not feeling right for you, that you can take a step away from it. But if you're getting into it, know that there's going to be a lot of moments where maybe you want to. And if you truly do love it, and I always say, if you work hard at it, and if it's truly, truly your passion and what you love, it's inevitable that you will succeed. It might take decades. It might take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But if you're working hard at it, really putting the work in, and it's what you want, and you know it's what you want, then you will succeed. It's just you have to be aware of the timing, and the time might not be what you think it will be.
It may take a minute.
Totally.
Well, before I let you go, tell me how people can find you on social media.
Yes. Okay. So my Twitter is at Laura Marano. And by the way, I'm just going to spell it LauraMarano. Instagram is that same thing, at Laura Marano. And Facebook is at Laura Marano Official. So LauraMarano Official.
And those are all verified with a little blue check mark. So yes. If you see a Laura Marano handle, but it doesn't have the check mark, it's not really Laura.
It's not right. People who are, you know, become my friends still fall for it. And they're like, I'm following you. You posted something really weird the other day. I'm like, well, it probably wasn't me.
Like, look for the blue check mark. Those are the verified accounts of the real Laura Marano.
Yes.
Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, take a second and subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up at the bottom of the homepage. You'll get exclusive inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. Don't miss it. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one help that will save you thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, invest in a consultation session with me over the phone, Skype, or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In a single session, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. I work with parents who want to help their child become a happy, successful actor, and I can help you. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.